sound on a similar sound level.
Similar
sounds. Loud female narrator.
Noisy
female narrator.
That would be us. Welcome to the podcast. This is Shades of Grey, the Dark and Twisty Podcast. I'm Bethany.
And I'm Katie.
I still don't have my voice back.
So. Yeah, she's still working on it.
Thank you so much for your patience
It's better than it was.
Yeah, I went through an edited 7 today, which is out now for your listening pleasure, and yes. Was like, dang, my voice sounds so like painful.
Aww.
Yeah, but you know, we made it.
It was making sounds.
It was,
you know,
which is more than I can say for
it was
a couple weeks
leap.
Ago.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. we're here with Jada. She's chilling.
A pupcaster.
We've had some Dark Horse Rosé, as we're prone to do. We've had some homemade guac that Katie brought. She mixed up her recipe a little bit.
I made some guac, changed things up.
Yeah.
Usually I just like lots and lots of lime and not much else.
You really do have to move that closer, I think.
Oh. Oops.
That's okay. Well, you can adjust however you want to. You can just
put your boob on it. I hope that's not too loud now.
No, you're fine, because it's easier to turn it down than it is to turn it up.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
And I turned almost all of mine down last time.
Okay.
So, to like match you, so.
Yeah. I also just kind of have a quieter voice where I often have people like, repeat yourself sort of situations.
Oh, that almost never happens to me.
It happens all the time. And I'm very aware of it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Humans.
God, thank you. On Friday, I was feeling better. I hosted at the Mint, which Katie does sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that works in the kitchen came out and introduced themselves. And I was like, oh, hi, I'm Bethany. And she goes, is your voice naturally raspy? And I was like, nope.
No.
It just was such a funny, like, in the couple of weeks I've had this condition, no one has asked me that.
No.
But yeah. That girl did.
That tells you that you're healing and that it's almost back to normal.
It sounds
it's at
like
a natural rasp level.
It could pass for a regular voice.
Yeah.
Hey, it's me, Bethany, the regular people.
Yeah, I just always have a raspy voice, a la Meredith Grey.
So there. Super mayor.
So
we are in season 1, episode 8.
Save me.
It's called
Save Me.
Save Me.
Which I narrowed down to 3 possibilities for the song. It was either a song by Shinedown, Amy Mann, or Queen. And then the Wikipedia told me that it was the Amy Mann song, which makes the most sense.
Yeah.
It is the most Grays aesthetic.
Totally, yeah. The song came out in 1999 from the album Magnolia. I wasn't familiar with Amy Mann, but she's similar to like Tori Amos, Sheryl Crow, Liz Phair, like kind of like moody lady tunes.
Yes, sort of the late 90s, early 2000s feministy lady music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although
sort of a little bit folky. Chill.
Yeah.
Like, not super Riot Girl,
like,
but
probably an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably own a plaid shirt.
True.
You know.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
Although you saying Shinedown is reminding me of, I think that was on, like, a mix CD that a boyfriend gave me in high school.
I mean, it's boy music.
It's boy music.
That's high school boy music.
Yeah.
That's what I think of Shinedown.
Super. Yes. Now, did they do the, I just saw Haley's come and
I have
she waved.
No idea. I don't know what they, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I'd just be like,
No, you don't know?
I have no idea. No. I just know the
I really thought you were going to be with me on that.
Of what kind of music they are? I know that it's music I personally do not like.
I really thought you were going to. Okay, well, now I have to look that up.
Oh. Well, have fun with that. Today, as a special treat for Bethany, I brought my 2005 yearbooks. So the 2004 to 2005 and the 2005 to 2006 yearbooks up from my high school.
It was amazing.
Sure, super fun. My I went to a very small Christian school, so it's all like one or K through 12. Like,
yeah,
everybody is in there.
It's really cute.
Yeah.
By the way, that was a Shinedown song called Second Chance that I was singing.
Well, you got it.
Thanks.
Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, the yearbooks were a really fun surprise. I think sometimes when I look back at my own yearbooks, it's kind of cringe, but it's really fun to look
cringe,
at somebody else's.
It's like, that's where I was in 2005. It was all cringe.
And Katie's yearbook, well, you were on the yearbook committee. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was like
for at least one of those
cut together by hand, which is really mm-hmm. fun. You can tell like they use the like Creative Memories photo stencils kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, it's fun to look at. It's a bit different than ones that are done on the computer.
Yeah. At some point we switched over to computer stuff and it just wasn't as exciting. And I don't think I was on the yearbook. I don't know if we really had a yearbook committee after that. I think it was just like some people kind of did it, but it wasn't official.
It didn't take as much work or
not as much manpower. And it just wasn't as exciting as like actually cutting out and creating a sort of memory book.
Well, scrapbook. I mean, doing layout like that. Yeah, it's like it's a scrapbook basically.
Yeah.
And
I loved scrapbooking
in a
sort of alternative way.
Yeah, you've done a lot of those, haven't you, for like birthday cards and things like that, like
in high school I made lots and lots of those pages, and I did have them in books like occasionally, but I also sometimes put them on my wall. I had a wall of all like cut out posters and pictures from magazines and stuff. That was very 2005 of me, but all through high school, you know?
I did that too. I had like three closet doors and they were all covered with stuff I cut out from magazines.
Yeah, I had a big wall of that.
Nice.
Cool magazine pictures.
Totally.
Bands I liked.
Yep.
Clothes I thought were cool.
Yeah, I had clothes and stuff. I had one that was like mostly Harry Potter stuff and then one that was like mostly dudes, which like looking back I like can't believe my mom was okay with that. Like it wasn't like naked at all, but it was like Johnny Depp's face and then like Heath Ledger's face and you know what I mean, just like
mine was like Good Charlotte and The Used and other bands wearing lots of eyeliner.
I was genuinely scared to listen to that stuff. Like, I remember my friend being into My Chemical Romance, and I was like, that's that too hardcore. Like,
I was like, so hardcore.
Scared of it. I didn't know. But now I look back and I'm like, damn, like, I wish I had those connections to those times in my life with this music because I think I really would have liked it.
Yeah.
I just was, like, too scared to get near it.
Well, yeah. Like, My Chemical Romance was kind of soft.
I know!
On the, yeah.
I know. Well, Andrew listens to, like, really hardcore. Well, he used to listen to really hardcore stuff. He doesn't so much anymore, but it seemed intense to me. And I think I just was scared of it. But don't be scared of music, guys. It's fine.
Yeah. Try out new things. Get in with the emo, because I think it's still kind of a thing. Not really.
Well, I know, like, My Chemical Romance kind of stopped for a while because they were getting so popular. And they were like, that's not what we're here for.
Yeah. The Used is still going. I still follow them on Facebook, I think.
Oh, nice. I love that they're all like, in their 40s. That's kind of fun.
Yeah,
I just watched, my sister sent me a video of like, it was like teens react to the Backstreet Boys, and then it was the Backstreet Boys watching that video, which is just like a fun, like, you get to see their group interaction. And they like, some of the teens knew it, and some of them were like, I don't know what this is. And then,
well, the 90s are so big again, though. Like, the sort of 90s, 2000s.
But I don't know about that style of music. Like, there was a resurgence with like One Direction and like the Jonas Brothers were like boy bands that were more popular more recently.
Yeah.
But it was fun just to like, obviously that's such an integral part of me growing up was knowing their stuff. For these teens to like look at pictures and be like, I think that one is Howie, and like just have all of them laugh and be like, no, that's not correct. Like, yeah, I really liked it. So I don't have any connection to Amy Mann, however.
No, I know who she is, and I have heard some of her music. I don't know if I could be like, that's an Amy Mann song, but I feel like, wasn't she on like an episode of Portlandia?
I have no idea. Or is
that someone else? One of those other ladies.
Katie's tapping her glass. That's what you just that heard. Was my I can't. It's okay. I'm the one that gets to do the audio editing. And I realized last week I was holding my phone and it was bumping the mic stand. And at the time, you know, it's not very loud, but because it's the thing the microphone is on, it's super loud in the recording. And I'm like, boy, I wish I hadn't done that.
Sorry, future me.
Sorry. Okay, so we are going to kick off with Meredith, Awake in Her Room.
Yes, there's sort of a voiceover about fairy tales and fantasy. And, yeah, like the princess being rescued by the knight in shining armor sort of thing.
Yeah, and trope. Derek is putting on some deodorant. He's got, like, dad jeans and an off-white button-down and a maroon sweater over it.
And Meredith is wearing a green sweater again, like a really nice green. She looks so good in green. She really does. That dark green.
Yeah, totally.
It's so good.
Yeah. And she just kind of keeps staring at him like she's keeping a secret or, like, wondering something.
She's thinking about something. Yeah. She wants to ask him a question, I think. Like, that's sort of the feeling on her face.
Yeah. It's, like, just kind of looking with a lot of intent.
Yes.
And then Izzy and George are in the kitchen, and there's a huge mess. And
Izzy's baking.
She's been baking cupcakes for 8 hours, and George is being, like, really encouraging.
Yeah, we've had sort of glimpses into Izzy's enjoyment of baking, like, sort of her compulsion to bake before, like, in the previous episode, and they've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
But this is really showing it off.
Yeah.
She likes to bake.
Yep.
She's trying to bake cupcakes, like the ones with the squiggle on top.
Yeah, which to me is like that, it's like a hostess cupcake, right?
It's
But I didn't like a homemade like version of that, I guess.
Yeah.
I never ate those like Ho-Hos or Twinkies or...
Oh, man, we had them all the time.
Did you? Yeah, no, we never bought those, so... No. Zebra cakes, we never bought that.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Yeah.
My house was all about, like, the prepackaged foods.
I think we did buy them because we knew we'd just eat them instantly.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe your mom was more like, okay.
We're just not
even gonna... they're gonna be gone.
Right, yeah, totally. Well, and I remember thinking, like... Oh, you don't have to fill the whole bowl up with ice cream? Like, because that's how my dad did it, you know?
And then
sweets. Sweets are tricky. So,
so tricky. When you so delicious.
Right. And when you have an association with it, especially from childhood, Izzy's trying to recreate a recipe.
Yes. She's trying to do a recipe, and George mentions, like, calling her mother. Like, you can still call your mother. So it's something to do with her mother's recipe.
Yeah.
She's flipping through her little...
like, Rolodex kind
index
of...
index card recipe, handwritten recipes.
Yeah. He says, like, call your mom and, like, ask what it is you're missing or something like that, so...
But he's really enjoying this moment.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
He gets to eat the cupcakes.
And she's a little bit frazzled. And
they taste good to me.
Right, yeah. He's like, I'm fine with it. And Meredith's getting ready in the bathroom. Derek is brushing his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And Meredith wants to stay at his house.
Yes, she mentions wanting to sleep at his house. Why don't we go to your house this week?
Because
she has never been there. She doesn't know where he lives. Does he have a house?
Do we know? Like, and that's kind of, it's not something we've really been looking at all, because all the scenes are in Meredith's house when they're kind of at home.
Like,
we haven't seen anybody else's house.
No, and we're kind of introduced into this as she does not know much about Derek's life.
Right.
Outside of his life with her.
Yeah.
This is, they have a relationship, they are dating, but she doesn't know much.
Yeah. And they're like, you know, coming out getting breakfast, and
they come into the kitchen.
George notices that Derek doesn't want to eat the cupcakes and says,
no.
Oh, he's a healthy guy. And
because he eats muesli every morning.
It's just such a gross word. I really don't like it.
It's just like granola-y.
I know, but muesli, it just like, sounds yucky. It sounds like mucusy, I think is what it reminds me of. But also, he did just brush his teeth. Like, I maybe wouldn't want to eat a chocolate, but that's not the point. He doesn't want to eat it because he, like, is a health guy. And then Derek kind of realizes he's been there for a week straight.
Yeah.
He, like, didn't really notice.
He's been there a whole week.
Yeah. And then I noticed that there was, like, china in the hutch at her house, which I'm assuming is not hers.
Oh, no, that's Ellis's. Yeah. That was just something that didn't really get packed up, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe Izzy decided to unpack it when she was in that mood.
When she was nesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So then we are at Seattle Grace.
Well, we're in an office.
Is it not at Seattle Grace?
I don't know. They don't really say for sure.
Okay.
I don't know if abortion is offered at Seattle Grace, you know, as a service.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's someone that we haven't really seen before.
Yeah.
Talking to Christina.
Yep.
Who is trying to make an appointment.
And
she's wearing a long leather coat that's sort of beat up.
Yeah.
Like a vintagey leather coat and black shirt underneath.
Maybe she rode her bike there or something.
Yeah. She's trying to look very badass.
Yeah.
Which she is.
She is. And, you know, there's such a fear in finding out about a pregnancy, like at, you know, the end of the last episode, she's shocked. Maybe, you know, if you've had morning sickness before, you kind of knew that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Not the flu.
It's not like the flu. It's not. Because you feel fine in between.
Oh.
And then just all of a sudden you will get like this shot of nausea.
Blah.
And it's just like instant.
Oof.
And then it goes away again after a while.
So you don't feel like crappy all day?
Not usually, no.
Okay.
No. Sometimes you can have that kind of all day.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's just like you're normal in between, and then you'll get these pangs of feeling sick.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
That's my experience anyway.
Yeah. I was on a medication until pretty recently that made me feel like that. And it just, I like didn't know what it was. I couldn't like figure it out. And I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure I don't have a stomach bug, but I almost always feel like I'm about to hurl.
Oh.
Or like I would like forget about it. And then it would, you know, the feeling would come up. But once I figured out what it was, I was like so glad that I didn't just have some like something seriously wrong with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
Some sort of chronic
nausea.
Yeah, with my first pregnancy I didn't really have the nausea that much. I think once I really remember it, but for the most part it was fine. And then with the second it was constant when you got into like that first trimester of awfulness.
there's these ginger candies. They're like soft, like toffee kind of chews. They harden up, you know, if they're cold or whatever, but I got some in spicy apple and they're super good. It was like, because I couldn't constantly be taking Dramamine or Pepto or anything.
Right.
You
kind of need something.
Gingins, I think is what they're called.
Uh-huh.
I would recommend that if you have nausea for whatever reason, but also maybe go get it checked. So, Christina's in this office trying to schedule. She's going to be on an ENT rotation soon, which is ear, nose, and throat. So she's like, maybe I could do it then because I'm going to have a lighter workload. And
the lady is trying to have a conversation about it and give her all the options.
Yep.
She seems a little bit on the edge of, like, trying to talk her into other options.
She is definitely pushing away from abortion.
But Christina has her mind set on it. She knows this is what she wants, and that is what she's going for.
Yeah, she wants Christina to, like, wait and call her back, and, you know, maybe we'll go for a different time. And Christina's like, nope, I will reschedule. Please give me that appointment.
I can do the 16th, yes.
And she's just not interested in the talking part, which we happen to know generally about Christina. But
yes.
Especially with something so personal.
Right.
Yeah. But I think, I would think that is probably part of their job. Is to discuss other things.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Because there are other options.
But she is pretty pushy.
Yeah.
So.
She knows her mind.
Yeah.
You can't tell her otherwise unless she decides.
Right, for sure. Yeah, that's very Christina. So then we see Alex. He's with his patient.
Devo, who is Millie from Freaks and Geeks, which is so exciting.
It's so exciting. It was, like, really fun to see her.
I love her so much.
And still in a very, like, conservative, traditional role.
Of course!
Like, she always plays that girl, which is kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Devo is 17, and she has a heart murmur.
Well, she's also on Buffy.
Oh, is she?
Like, the seventh season. She's one of the... Spoilers for the people who have not seen Buffy yet, including Bethany.
Including me.
Go do it if you haven't yet. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is one of the greatest shows
it's very
ever, like, created.
And positive, yeah.
It's so good. So the final season, they figure out a way to sort of get all of the Slayer, like, possible Slayers turned into Slayers. Mm-hmm. So when you become a Slayer, you get lots of powers and stuff, and you have to go fight the demons and the vampires. But they figure out a way through magic to get all of the potential Slayers turned into Slayers. So they have this army of young women who are turned into Slayers, and she's one of them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What's her name? Do we know?
On Buffy, or her real name?
Her actual name?
Sarah Hagen.
Okay.
Or Hagen. H-A-G-A-N.
I would guess Hagen.
But... I would also guess that.
Okay, nice. So, here she's playing Devo.
Devo.
She has a heart murmur and a fever. She calls herself Esther.
Yes.
That is her chosen
name. Yeah, her family is Jewish, but sort of a very...
They're culturally Jewish.
Yes, culturally, loosely Jewish, but she has taken on the Orthodox faith.
Yeah. So she's not so happy with her name Devo after the band.
Yeah.
Who I have weirdly seen before. I saw them play at Lollapalooza in 2007.
Whip it.
That was all it was. No, they played more stuff, but that's...
I don't know anything else.
I don't either.
That's funny.
So she had a root canal, and she couldn't clot afterwards, and Alex is working with her, but Burke comes in and says, give me the bullet, which is, like, just really... Like, we
another
know what
Burke-ism.
He means.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like...
He's like that.
It's
he
weird
just has
cocky.
This shorthand... That other people don't necessarily understand.
Yeah. And Esther's parents are there, but they're in the cafeteria.
Yeah, she says to page them because her freak father likes hospital food.
just such like a teenager thing to be like, oh, my dad's a freak. He likes food,
yeah.
stuff, whatever.
And then her parents named her after Devo because her parents did too much blow.
That's really funny. Yeah. And then she's so like... sassy, but not, I don't know, there's just such a good balance. She goes,
not profane, but sassy.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She says, get a life. Haven't you ever seen an Orthodox Jew? I just love it. Like,
yeah.
Dude, put people in their place. Hell yeah. Like, so
yes.
good. Yeah, I really like it.
And yeah, because Alex pulls down the bed sheet to examine her further, and she's wearing this long denim skirt underneath her hospital gown.
Yeah.
Where he's like, what is this?
Yeah, because that's part of her modesty, like, she wants to do that. I just love that she says, get a life.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, it's so sweet,
it's
but it's
so
still, like,
cute.
No me how to ask.
Another great show. Go watch Freaks and Geeks, fam.
Yeah.
So good. I watch it, like, once a year.
Do you? Yeah. That's really nice. That one, the girl always reminds me of Scooby-Doo.
Yes! Yeah, Linda Cardellini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's in New Girl, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's done some good stuff. I mean, she's no Sarah Hagen.
She's
cool. So then we are with Meredith and Christina.
Yep, they're kind of looking at some x-rays or something, scans of some sort with the psych guy, with the
he's the psych doctor.
Yeah, who we've seen before briefly, I think.
he comes up later too. I feel like he returns, but this psych guy thinks that it's a neurology case. They think it's a psych case. Yep.
They're talking about a patient, but he's kind of pushing off this patient on them. Yeah. And they don't want to take it because they don't think it's legit.
Yeah. And it's a, quote, gifted patient who had a seizure 2 days ago and today has a lot of other weird conditions, like talks to dead people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely think he belongs in psych, but the the psych doctor can't take this patient back until he's been cleared by neurology.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of stuck with him. And the patient's name is Mr. Duff.
Yes.
He thinks that his seizures are visions.
Yes. And he says that he's psychic, and Christina says something like, "Of course you are, and I'm a chicken."
That's pretty good.
V. Christina.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the kind of seizures that Mr. Duff has are petit mal or absence seizures, where you just like zone out. So they're not grand mal, which is maybe what you think of with like the shaking and the falling to the floor and the foaming at the mouth, like. That's not the kind of seizure he has.
Well, like in the previous episode, we had the little Jamie.
Jamie Taylor, maybe?
I don't remember.
It was Jamie. Yeah.
Yeah, she was a toddler, and her leg would shake when she was having seizures.
Yeah.
Like, her leg would aggressively.
And that was a focal seizure, because it's just one piece of her body.
And this is different. Different kind of seizure. Different brain thing.
Yeah, he just kind of, like, zones out. Have you ever been around somebody having a seizure?
I don't think I've ever seen anyone have one. No, not in person.
I feel like I have two stories, but the only one that's I'm remembering right now, I was at like the concession stand at a high school football game, and this girl behind me started having a seizure, but she was like falling, and because like you lose control, you know?
Yeah.
And her friends were catching her, and I remember thinking she was like playing a trick, like trying to be funny and like fall into her friends or whatever. Cause that's not the first thing I think of.
Right.
And then, they just like held her head so that it didn't hit the concrete repeatedly. And then like the ambulance came and
it was
very scary.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'll think of the other seizure story, but oh, I know, a girl had one during one of my college classes.
Oh.
She fell and hit her head really hard. We were like sitting down,
ugh,
but she like shook out of her chair. And I remember like it was at my Christian college during the like sex education class, which is already super awkward. And then this poor girl had a seizure. And then like our professor was like, you know, somebody needs to call. Well, I had my phone, but I was so new to the college. I didn't know what building we were in.
Right.
So I didn't call. Yeah. And then he was like, somebody needs to. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, anyway. But usually people are fine. They just are like really tired after a seizure.
Yeah.
And just like need a minute. And
yeah, if it's not indicative of a different thing, like if it's just an epilepsy episode.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mr. Duff. He has this petite mal seizure and
he just seems like he's zoning out for a second.
Yep.
And Meredith and Christina are like, oh, okay. Something's going on.
Yeah, he predicts that somebody's gonna check out on the fourth floor.
Yeah.
But they're like, well, it's a hospital. Like, but then right after that, like the second after, there's a code blue on the fourth floor.
Yeah, there's a page and people are rushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. It's kind of like comedic timing. It's meant to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be laughing that somebody's dead. But
no, it's supposed to be sort of amusing that maybe he is psychic.
Right. Yeah, that's the joke. And
maybe
then,
it's both. Yeah.
Maybe it's both. And then Christina and Meredith both leave without acknowledging him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
They're both kind of like, okay.
And then we get the intro, the opening credits.
The credits. And then there's a bed being pushed with the person who died.
I totally missed that. Sorry.
No, yeah, because Christina's kind of walking behind it. And so it's like the bed is being pushed out of the way and they have the sheet over the face.
I totally missed that.
The person who did die.
No, I totally did not pay attention to that. That's
and Christina's
awesome.
Feeling a little ill.
Yep. And George is like, hey, is that guy psychic? Like,
yeah. So George is at the nurse's station and Christina walks up.
And she's asking for a cover For her shift on the 16th.
And yes.
George is really distracted. He's thinking about Meredith and Derek and, like, and I said, and thinking about not shaving.
Yeah.
Did you? I don't know what that means.
Well, thinking about letting his hair grow.
Oh.
That's what he said. He wants to grow his hair out because he kind of looks over and I think he sees Shepherd.
Yeah.
In that moment. And Derek has that, you know, sort of longer, luxurious, curly hair. And so George is kind of like, oh, maybe I should grow my hair out.
Maybe I should have long, luxurious hair.
Yeah. Very transparent.
Yeah. And then George is
but
like...
But he will take her shift.
Yeah. He's like, I can cover. Why? And she bites at him.
Yeah.
She's like, why? Well,
none of your business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is...
And he doesn't care because he's moving on.
Right.
To,
yeah.
Like, oh, there's that psychic guy. And yeah. I should grow my hair longer.
He's kind of got his own life happening.
Yeah.
He's
very preoccupied.
Yeah.
And then we're over at Meredith and Derek, and they're walking and talking.
It's like a very weird side hallway they're in.
Yeah, but then they kind of go out onto that, that like skyway that goes to the chief's office.
Yep, yeah.
That we see featured prominently often on the show.
It's there a lot. It's just like the leading up to there. I was like, where are we?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if we see that particular hallway that often, but, she's asking questions because she doesn't know things about him. She wants to know things.
Yeah.
She hardly knows anything about him. You have more details than most is what he says to her.
He's like, you know enough. I'm from New York and I like ferry boats.
Yeah.
Which does not a personality make.
No. And he wants her to be flexible. And she's like, I'm not flexible.
I'm not. Well, yeah. And she's like... asking legitimate questions like, what about your friends? What do you do on your days off? Like, those are things.
She's frustrated.
Yeah.
But when she says, I'm not flexible, he, like, gives her a little sort of winky look. It's like, there, I disagree.
So shitty.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. And so, you know, she's asking these questions and, of course, because Derek is Derek, he deflects and turns it on her and is like, who are these important questions for? Like, why do you want to, you know, whatever. Like, it's you're the one with the issue because you're the one that wants to know.
Right.
And I just think these are totally legitimate things to want to know.
They're so normal. Like, where do you live? You've been to my house all this week.
Yeah.
Do you have a house?
Do you have one? she thinks she deserves details.
Right.
And,
she does.
She calls him on it. She's like, this is going somewhere weird again. Like, why are you being so deflective? And she says that she wants facts, and until she gets them, her pants are staying on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just like,
keeping that flexibility to herself.
He's like, you know, we'll find these things out. We'll that's the fun part. Like, and it's just so dismissive of her legitimate concerns.
Yeah.
And like, well, I get that it's supposed to be fun, but it made me mad.
Yeah, except what we learn in future episodes, it's not so much about being fun as he has actual things that he's wanting to
keep to himself.
Keep to himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he gets paged. He kind of gets saved by the bell a little bit.
Yeah, he runs across the walkway. And then we have Burke and Alex with Devo / Esther and her parents.
And she needs a valve replacement. She likely has von Willebrand's disease, which is a bleeding disorder. It's inherited. And it is often discovered after bleeding from a dental procedure or some very intense menstrual bleeding, which it's possible she could have had either of those. But we happen to know that it's from dentistry.
Yeah.
And some people have it but never know. So... But she found out.
Like, what is super intense menstrual bleeding?
Is that not just regular?
I have pretty heavy menstrual bleeding. So
maybe you have von Willebrand's.
Maybe.
Or maybe you're just a woman.
I don't know.
You're fine.
I haven't really had... I guess I had my wisdom teeth out.
That's
a year or two ago. Yeah. So that would have been indicative of that.
Yeah, you would know. So she can't take blood thinners, which you would need to do to have a mechanical heart valve.
So she needs a porcine valve from a pig.
Yep. the dad says, "Pig, huh?" And Alex goes, "It's the other white meat."
Yeah.
And Bert just like, what's
that? Like, what?
He like slow blinks and like deeply breathes. Just is, like, he is so annoyed. I love it.
Saving it up for later.
It's so good. Alex is just being an asshole. And then Esther's mom is like, go for it. Like, yeah, let's like, do
just,
it.
Just save her. Yeah. Which, yeah, parents are going to be like, yeah, just do it. Right. Just do the thing.
Yeah. Well, good parents.
Yeah. It's,
I'm thinking about Tina from last week about that mom that's super uptight.
Yeah. But she was kind of like, just do it also, but for the reason of to get back at her child.
Right. Exactly.
Tina.
Tina. So then Bailey and Izzy are in surgery with Mrs. Glass.
We're in an OR. They're doing a biopsy. Mrs. Glass. Okay. I did not catch her name ever. Like, in the entire episode, so I kept just writing cancer patient.
Yeah, that's Mrs. Glass.
Yeah. And they're talking about the psychic guy.
Yeah, Mrs. Glass is awake during the procedure, and she asks about the psychic and... Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they're doing a biopsy on her breast, like, checking a lump, I guess.
Yeah. And Bailey just doesn't want to even talk about the psychic and... Bailey thinks that, like, Izzy cares about it because Izzy's, like, going Izzy's too kinda, far.
Yeah, Izzy's talking a little too much. Like, she's sort of protesting too much about it.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's crazy and is...
Yeah, she's kind of going on and on.
She has some hang-ups about psychics.
Yeah, totally.
As you can tell immediately, and Bailey can tell immediately. Yeah. Like, there's some sort of issue here.
Bailey knows all. Yeah. Yes. So then Derek is talking to a patient named Mr. Walker.
Yes.
Mr. Walker has a neck brace on. He's laying on his back.
He fell rock climbing, and he needs an MRI. He can't feel from his thigh down.
Yeah. He could wiggle his toes 10 minutes ago, but now he can't.
So he's getting this sort of progressive issues.
Numbness, sort of a... Yeah, so...
Paralysis.
Paralysis, yeah. Mm-hmm. Derek is, like, running a little, like, pokey thing up his leg, and he can't feel it, and...
Yeah.
The spine x-rays look clear, though.
Yes. There's no issue yet that they can see.
And Derek orders an MRI stat and asks that Meredith Grey go with him.
Yes.
So...
Yes, he asks the nurse to get Meredith. Yeah. Like, send an intern with him. Meredith. Make it Meredith.
And the patient is getting nervous, definitely. Mr. Walker is like kind of starting to freak out a little bit. His kids are coming and his wife and all that. So
they're on their way. And they're kind of in like the ICU or some, or the emergency room maybe.
Yeah.
Some sort of public space.
There's like maybe curtains drawn, mm-hmm. but it's a bigger room.
Yeah. And then we have George and Alex trying to intubate a patient.
George is kind of having trouble. Alex is really making him nervous.
Yeah, Alex is hovering and George is having trouble trying to, like, get the tube down.
Yeah, and,
getting really, thrown off by
Alex's
presence.
And Burke is walking by, standing in the hallway and...
peeks through the window.
Alex is, like, listening, with his stethoscope. And realizes the tube is in the esophagus, not the trachea.
Yeah.
So from back to front, it's spine, esophagus, trachea. So George got it in the wrong spot.
Yeah. It's not going to help him breathe.
Nope.
Where it's at.
And so
that's what he needs.
Yeah. Burke steps in and does it really quick. And George is kind of mad.
Yeah. Burke kind of walks him through and is like, keep... eye contact the whole time as you're putting the tube through. I'm currently, like, using my arms to demonstrate the intubation procedure. So, yeah, Burke does it easily, and George hasn't done it enough. He's sort of like,
yeah,
I haven't done it much.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I couldn't do it.
Yeah, Burke. Which, I mean, that's part of being a doctor, is, like, learning how to do stuff.
Yeah, and... you're an intern.
Yeah.
We get it. George has some issues with that, though.
He wants to be proficient.
Yeah, he's got some insecurities.
It can be tough to learn when you are that worried and that like nervous about fucking up.
Yeah.
Because then there's no openness to like try.
Well, from the whole like the his whole procedure at the beginning, the
oh yeah, when he pulled the purse strings too hard.
Yeah.
On the appendectomy.
When Burke really chewed him out for that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's just continued from there. He's like, oh, Burke's a big dick.
Who, like, has it out for me, which he kind of does. Like,
kind of. He's chosen him as his guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's using him as sort of a...
Example for everybody.
He's all the other interns. I'm losing my words a lot right now.
He's not the scapegoat, but he is sort of, like, the poster child for, like...
Yeah.
This is what happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
So then Mr. Duff, we're back with our psychic,
yes,
Mr. Duff.
Psychic guy and Christina.
He recommends Botox, which is really rude. And Christina yanks the probe off of his head, which is kind of funny.
And he calls her hot in a Mrs. Livingston kind of way. I looked this up to figure out
who I did too.
Did you?
Yeah, tell me what you found.
Okay, did you get the same thing? It's like it's from The Courtship of Eddie's Father, a show from way back when, I don't know, 60s, maybe 70s. And the Mrs. Livingston was the Japanese housekeeper who helped out with Eddie and Eddie's father. And the whole show is like Eddie trying to set his father up with ladies. And Mrs. Livingston is, from what I could tell from the brief thing that I watched, she wasn't like an overbearing sort of lady or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that she was Japanese.
Japanese. Yeah. So I wrote super racist.
Super racist.
Yeah. It's a character played by Miyoshi Umeki, which I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. Yeah. And then the show was based on a movie that was based on a book.
Yeah.
So the role is kind of like sage advice, like housekeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super like shitty stereotypes for like women and Asian folks and Asian women specifically. And
yeah.
Yeah, Miyoshi, this actor, like, is Japanese. Christina is Korean. Like,
right, which we have learned in previous episodes.
Yeah, when she couldn't speak with Izzy's patient.
So it's just she's Asian.
And a woman.
Is what he was saying.
Yeah. And then it's that, like, really shitty, like, you're hot for an Asian girl. Or, like, oh, you're really hot for whatever.
Fetish. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wrote, fuck you. Like, you know, that's fucked up. Like, yeah. I did not like that at all. And then Christina sees some spikes in the temporal lobes. He is epileptic for sure.
Mm-hmm. As he's starting to kind of zone out again, she sees that, like, oh, you are having a seizure.
Yeah, and then after his seizure, he has a vision, knows that she's pregnant, and he says, I wouldn't have pegged you as the mommy type, Nurse Betty.
Yeah.
Did you look into that?
No, because Nurse Betty's kind of a thing, isn't it? Is it from...
it's a movie with Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
Who, like, saw her husband murdered, and then she, like, gets all traumatized and thinks she's the ex-fiance of a soap opera star. But Kevin Rahm, who plays Mr. Duffy, is in Nurse Betty.
Oh, isn't that so weird? It's like a fun little
Easter egg kind of a... Yeah, because the clip I watched from Nurse Betty, I was like, oh my God, that's Mr. Duff.
They must have put it in there.
They probably did.
Definitely.
He's not like the main character or anything. I don't think he's even in like the top 10 on IMDb for that movie, but it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... but I didn't. I had never heard of that movie. I didn't know that was a thing.
I have known of it.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Nurse Betty, just like that saying is a thing.
I never heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've heard it.
No, that's legit. I just. And then Christina just kind of leaves. Is like, get out of my face.
Yeah. She's trying to. She finds Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to get switched. She wants to get off this patient.
Yes.
She's really freaked out by the fact that he was able to figure out she's pregnant.
Yes. Which,
yeah. That'd be so disconcerting.
Ugh. And I said, yes, girl, like, ask for what you need.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And Bailey is like, ask me nicely.
Yeah.
Christina is like, this is me. doing nicely.
This is me doing nicely. This is as nice as it's going to get. Yeah.
You didn't get that.
Yeah. And Izzy wants to take the case, and
yeah.
Bailey's
she wants something. She has something to prove, it seems like. Like, she's like, yes. Yeah, I can't get duped by a psychic.
Right.
I know better than them.
Which, any kind of, like, personal involvement like that, which we know is Izzy's problem, but...
Such a big problem.
It's really, like, not a good... You wouldn't put a doctor on if they had some sort of personal whatever. Yeah. But then Bailey's like...
you wouldn't know, yeah.
Right. Bailey's like, I don't do switches. Like, that's not what this is. And
no.
Christina's like, I'll do your post-op notes for a month.
Okay, yeah.
And then, holy shit, the patient that Christina gets instead is pregnant. God damn it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's the Mrs. Glass who had the biopsy because she has breast cancer. We found out she's pregnant, and poor Christina feels like she can't run away from pregnancy. Yeah.
Which she can't, which is what isn't that what the psychic guy said? Something along the lines of, like, you can't run away from this. Probably. As she was leaving.
Yeah, I think he did.
Like, no, you can't run away from this. Ha ha, you can't. You actually can't.
You cannot. Yeah.
Oh, wells.
Oh, man. So then Christina is... Oh, we're with...
Meredith and Derek, and they're looking at the MRI films.
Yes.
And they look clear still.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't figure it out. Meredith... basically is telling Derek, no, you're wrong. Like, this is a side case.
Yeah. She's like, you're wrong. You don't always get what you expect. Like,
yeah.
And Derek is like, what the hell is wrong with you? Because she's asking, like, trivia. And he just is like, lighten up.
Yeah, she just keeps asking questions. She wants to know what his grandparents' names are and all these different things. Just asking him a million things. And he says, like, lighten up. And he's walking away. And he's way without, like, beyond earshot.
Yeah.
And she's still talking.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And she doesn't change, like, her level of sound at all. She's just still talking.
Just still talking.
Like, I am light.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be light when I feel light.
Yeah. Very, like... cross your arms, pouty, kind of a...
Yeah.
That's fine. You get to be pouty.
Yeah.
So then Christina and Bailey are with the Glasses, Mr. and Mrs. Glass.
Yes.
They're a breast cancer patient that is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
We find out she has invasive carcinoma. Mm. And I think they're married, Mr. Glass.
Yeah.
Her partner is...
I assume so.
...wondering about alternatives and, you know, what else they could possibly do. And... none of the courses of treatment will allow the baby to survive.
Yes, which Christina is very blunt about.
Yeah.
Saying this. She holds no bars. Like, she's very... Yeah.
Bailey does not like the bluntness of that. She kind of, like, looks at Christina as like, hey.
Like, no, you gotta calm down. Like, no, she wants to be pregnant, so...
Right.
Yeah. Christina's kind of bringing her own stuff into this.
Absolutely.
Her views of... having children.
Yeah. And Bailey's like, you know, you have to make a decision, but she's trying to do it nicely.
Yes.
And Christina's like, well, obviously the only option is.
Yeah. Because they do need to decide fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. And then they use the phrase evacuate the fetus.
Yes.
Which is an accurate medical term.
Yeah.
It's also just really yucky. It just makes me sad for, like, she's this woman who really wants to have this baby. And so, like, to hear it talked about so...
And, you know, it draws these parallels between, like, abortion as a choice and sort of miscarriages or medical reasons for evacuating the womb.
Yeah.
Because they're not... The actual procedures are not that different.
Right.
At all. Like, they're the same thing. So they're just politicized differently.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, and again, you know, Christina is not interested in having a baby, and Mrs. Glass clearly is. And so it's just it's hard for Christina to be in that room, and
it's drawing an interesting contrast.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe Christina is not as black and white on this as she thinks she's being.
Right.
She's using her, like, this is who I am, this is what I want to do. But maybe she also has feelings that gray those edges.
Yeah.
You know?
It's tricky. All that stuff is so personal and sensitive and like...
And it should be.
Right? And not yeah. some fucking lawmaker's choice.
No.
yeah, it's comes with so much stigma and so much judgment.
Yeah.
It is not easy.
No, it is not.
For people that want it, for people that don't want it and have to have it for medical reasons,
right.
for
yeah.
anybody. So
yeah. Yeah, as someone who has had a miscarriage and has had to have sort of medical intervention to
Oof.
Help that miscarriage along
yeah.
so that I didn't die of blood loss or something. That's, Ugh. Yeah.
It is, like, heartbreaking. And, you know, you get to feel your own way about your own experience and, like, let mm-hmm. other people feel their way about theirs. Because, like,
yeah.
you're not them. And
no, it was a very interesting experience, too. You know, beyond being horrible and heartbreaking and painful.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is what people go through.
Yeah.
To have these... situated like they it's just
right and you didn't have yeah. a choice like
it no was, no
what they like spontaneous abortion is sometimes what it's called like,
it's yeah that's the technical term yeah.
yeah
that's the medical term is spontaneous abortion is what a miscarriage is like a natural miscarriage
yeah
yeah
it's some like crazy high percentage of pregnancies
it's
too.
Like 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That are just spontaneous.
Which for me is 1 in 3, you know,
right?
so far.
Yeah.
That's what my, I've had 2 living children and yeah. then the 1 miscarriage in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember when that happened, you and I didn't know each other that well yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was yeah. like relatively new to the family.
Sure.
And I just was like, felt so honored that you had shared that, but also was like, oh my God, like,
yeah.
she's so raw with emotion, I don't know how to be helpful here. And I think, you know, if you have somebody you love going through that, that's okay to say.
It's like, hard.
I don't know what to say. What can I do? Like,
yeah. There's nothing you really can do in those situations.
Be a comforting presence, I
yeah.
guess. I don't know. It's, yeah, all of it's difficult.
Yeah, it just... shows that it is so personal. Like, it
so
is...
So personal.
It is within that one person's being that all of that is going on.
Yeah. And yeah. it's okay to, like, not have one point of view as that one person, too. Like,
right. Yeah.
feel conflicted about it and...
Yeah. Which kind of is what this episode shows in Christina. Like,
yeah.
she... Or her continued journey.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Like, she has some conflicting emotions about it.
Even though she thought she wasn't
she
going to have any emotions.
Very, yeah. She thought she was very black and white on it.
Yeah, but not so much.
No.
So then Derek is back with Mr. Walker,
mm-hmm.
which I think is just kind of a cruel name. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I think it's...
It's in really bad taste.
It's okay. He's Mr. Walker by the end. He is, but it's just... He's
yeah.
fucking paralyzed. He can't move his legs.
He doesn't know what's wrong. The wife is now here.
Yeah.
Meredith still thinks... She thinks it's emotional trauma. She kind of
yeah.
pulls Derek away and is like, okay, I think it's an emotional thing. I think we need
yeah.
to call psych.
Yep.
hysterical
numbness or paralysis.
And then
yeah.
Mr. Duff is there. I thought he was in
Jesus
a room. Wasn't
H.
he in a room?
Yes. He's not in a room anymore. He's for some reason.
All of a sudden, him and Izzy are behind one of the curtains.
Yes.
And he like jumps out like, it's not all in your head.
Yeah.
Because I know these things. I'm
yeah.
psychic.
I was like, why is he here? Like, he was in a room a minute ago, like
yeah.
with a door.
Right.
I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't know. That seems like a continuation error, you
yeah.
know,
like yeah, then they would have moved him to a room after that or something
yeah.
in real life. But yeah, so then
Derek's he still thinks there's something else,
like a physical, it's not
this,
psychosomatic is what Derek means.
No, he has this inclination, like he knows
yeah.
in his gut that there is something else, there is something physical.
So then he orders a higher level MRI.
Yes.
Which I didn't know that there was different level. I know there's an fMRI, which is a functional MRI.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's what he means or...
I don't know.
Why would there be a lower level MRI? If you're going to do it, then let's do it, right? Like,
right. Well, maybe there's some sort of health implications. I don't know. Does MRI have radiation, or is that just an X-ray?
It's magnetic resistance imaging.
So maybe it affects things somehow.
Yeah. I don't know. I should probably know, but
maybe it's just more expensive.
Possible. Yeah. That they're like, if we can get by with the basic one.
We haven't talked much about like the financial issues with the hospital, but it does come up in future seasons.
It does. Yeah. And I mean, we are American, so we don't have national health care.
We don't have universal health care.
That's a serious concern. That also might
hopefully date this podcast.
Jesus, what if it did? That'd be amazing. If people can look back and be like, whoa, those poor shitheads, they didn't know. However, with our current president, I don't anticipate that happening. But
not for a few years, at least.
I don't know. I can't discuss that. But you wouldn't, I mean, I work at a place where we don't have benefits.
Sure.
We get them through my husband at his work because they have them. But yeah. You wouldn't believe how many times I have talked to friends that are like, I can't afford to go to the doctor.
Right.
There's something wrong and I have to save my money or ask for help.
It's so expensive.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. We also get benefits through my husband because I don't really work
for anybody besides yourself. Yeah.
Besides myself. The occasional hosting gig as I'm needed.
Yeah.
For frenzies.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. So then we're with Esther Friedman again. Yes. She doesn't feel respected.
No, she's mad. Yeah. She's so angry about this. Like, you said that I could have this pig valve? Like, it's a pig.
Yeah, you big idiots. Like, and Dad is like, why isn't plain old reform good enough? Which is just kind of funny.
Which kind of, that just tells you that her family is Jewish, you know, beyond her just choosing to be Orthodox.
Right. They're like, they're culturally, but maybe not religiously.
They're chill. Yeah. Here's the thing, what I found looking into all this, actual Orthodox Jews would hold life above all things. Like,
okay.
They would hold that above using the porcine valves.
Like, life is more important than keeping kosher?
So, yes. So, if it was life or death, her having that porcine valve, from what I read, yes, I'm not an expert, but what I stumbled upon on the internets said that they wouldn't actually have a big deal with that. Like, if this is her life, that's more important than choosing to be kosher.
Yeah.
So this isn't quite accurate to what life would be.
Maybe she does. You know, either she's not deep enough into it yet because she is young.
Maybe.
That she hasn't gotten to that part. Or, like, you know,
there is another moment later on also that's kind of like, oh, maybe she doesn't really. Or maybe the writers don't really know what they're talking about when it comes to Orthodox Judaism. Nice.
So Esther's kind of like criticizing her parents for not being good enough practitioners of religion. And Alex fucking jumps in. He's like, oh, even I know the plagues. Like, shut the fuck up, dude.
And he's
like,
trying to say it while Burke is still talking to the parents, and he's trying to, like, come up with all the
locusts, frogs. Burke is annoyed. He's like, I appreciate your extreme religious convictions.
Yes,
But yeah, Esther's like, come up with something else.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't answer to Wilbur and say oink. She is so sassy.
I was going to say, that's such a Sarah Hagen line, too.
It's so good. Yeah, it's really so good. Her. Love it.
I love that, too. It's so good. Yeah. So Izzy is with our psychic, Mr. Duff, taking him into a test. And he thinks she is a smorgasbord of lust. Just fucking gross. Ugh.
He's problematic in all of his scenes.
I know.
Like, I think we're supposed to kind of like him.
Come on, dude. Yeah.
But he's,
And then he knows about chocolate cupcakes.
Yeah, he's like, I'm looking at you and all I can think about are chocolate cupcakes. You know those ones with a little drizzle of white icing on the top?
Izzy does not like that. Ooh. She's like, hey.
Hits her where it hurts.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
She kind of is trying to figure out how he knows. She's like, what? Do I have cake in my hair? Like,
right. Do I have frosting on my face? She does not believe. Like, it reinforces that thing of she has this issue specifically with psychics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which also, if somebody called me a smorgasbord of lust, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. You fucking gross. Like, so then there's kind of
smorgasbord of anything.
It's just don't do it.
No.
People are not smorgasbords. So we're kind of having lunch on the go at only a workstation.
The fair. The fair is a veritable smorgasbord. Orgasbord.
It sounded like you just had a seizure. What did you say?
It's a Charlotte's Web reference. Oh. Deep cut for the Charlotte's Web.
EB White. Yes. Sorry.
Anyways, we're on to Christina. Is queasy.
Yeah, she doesn't want to eat anything. And Alex is kind of making fun of George not being able to intubate. And George is like,
he's so upset.
Hey, I'm good at things.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. Oh, George.
Yeah.
As always.
Aw.
And Christina's like, dude, go get laid. Like, go talk to that nurse.
Yeah. She pegs it. Again, she's very good at reading George specifically. She is, yeah. She's like, no, you need to get laid.
You
need a lady. And she points out Nurse Olivia, the nurse? Cute redhead nurse. Olivia. Nurse Olivia. I don't know if we find out in this episode at all that that's her name?
Yes, I think so.
Do they mention it maybe later?
I could
later?
Be wrong just because I know her name, so I wrote Nurse Olivia.
Oh, that's what I wrote. Yeah.
Because she comes around. She comes back. She's like a recurring character.
She recurs for many seasons on, too.
Yeah.
Even beyond George.
Oh, smiley. Sad. True, but yeah.
Yeah, but Christina's... I'm sorry. Christina's, like, she has red hair.
Like that's a reason.
Just go for it.
Yeah. And Mr. Duff is not a psychic. Izzy's, like, yelling.
Yeah, Izzy is very upset about it. No one else cares.
No one cares.
Once again, she's more... upset about it.
And then everybody leaves but George and Izzy. And George is like, you could still call your mom on her birthday.
He knows that's what she's worried about. She's still thinking about the cupcakes. It's her birthday. It's very Hallmark to call your mom on her birthday.
Yeah.
Because I'm George.
Because you should like call your mommies.
Call your mom on her birthday. I talk to my mom every morning.
It's very cute. Little Georgie. So then Christina is with Mrs. Glass.
Yes.
Mrs. Glass is 47 and is having a baby. She's been trying really hard to get pregnant.
Yeah, they've done fertility treatments. They have tried everything they could and they finally gave up. Yeah. And then she got pregnant. And it's sort of like this big joke almost. Like, oh, she's pregnant. And now she has cancer.
It's like, I think they see it lightly because they have to. Like, out of necessity.
And... they got knocked up on the beach with some Merlot. Like, they had a bottle of Merlot, and they're on a beach, which seems uncomfortable.
It makes me think of Lane Kim.
Exactly.
On her honeymoon on the
beach. She also got pregnant on the beach with twins. Oh, poor Lane.
With crabs and everything. And
literal crabs.
Shitty hot tub. And
yeah.
Oh, honey.
And she hated sex for so much longer after that because of that experience.
Well, yeah,
because
she had a terrible time. Don't have sex on the beach. It is no good for anybody's genitals.
Yeah, sand, all kinds of issues.
Oh, salt water. Ugh. Dirty garbage.
Oh, justice for Lane.
Oh, Lane. She turned out fine. But it just, that's what it reminded me of, too. Yeah. Sex on the beach, always receiving a lane.
Oh, honey.
Christina, like, isn't wanting to hear it. And Mrs. Glass is like, you get it, right? Christina's like, no, I don't get it.
No, she, like, lays out the odds of survival.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you, if you do forego treatment, you'll maybe live to see your child's, like, kindergarten.
Yeah.
Kindergarten age.
Which is, like, that's a real thing.
So who are you really saving here?
Yeah.
Is kind of Christina's point of view.
Yeah. Which is harsh, but that's how Christina sees it.
Yeah.
So, we're back with Mr. Walker. Now he can't move his hands.
He can't move his hands. He's not a hander either.
Oh my God. That was so bad.
Anyways. Derek cancels the second
MRI. You have to say it again. No one can hear you.
So Derek cancels the second MRI because he's like, oh, this is getting worse. There's something. He just needs to get in there to see it. He thinks there's a clot.
Yes.
Higher on the spinal cord.
Yeah. So he wants to go to the OR right now.
And Meredith is not convinced. She still thinks it's risky.
Yeah. She's like, okay, well, what are you going to operate on? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
She still wants answers. She wants
some info.
Yeah.
And Derek is real willing to go with his gut. He thinks
he's more in his head.
That's, yeah. You know, the MRI missed something. And, you know, I was like, what is the likelihood of that? That an MRI missed something? Like, I'm sure it happens, but like.
Well, and he is an expert about these issues, you know, brain and spinal cord stuff. So maybe he's seen that sort of thing before. He knows that this is a thing that can happen. And if we're not seeing anything.
He hasn't shared any of that with anyone else.
No, he does not verbalize this at all. So we don't know for sure.
Right. We're very much winging it. With Meredith on this one. And I don't know if he says this. Sometimes you got to take a chance to save a life. Or if I just wrote that.
I didn't write it down, so I don't know.
Maybe. Just is so fucking cheesy.
It's cheesy. He's cheesy sometimes, though.
Yeah, he does.
So it's understandable.
So
back to Alex.
Yeah, there's kind of a tender moment with Alex and Esther. And he's telling her, you know, things are getting worse. And she's like, oh, are you hitting on me? Which is kind of cute. And
yeah, she's heard that he's called Dr. Evil Spawn.
And Alex shares that he sees himself as a pagan. And Esther's like, at least I have a God who wants me to be passionate about what I believe in.
Right, because she, with other teenagers her age these days, like, they just want to get wasted and throw away their lives on doing dumb things.
Yeah.
But at least she has her faith.
Yeah.
Which is the theme of the episode. Yep. Like, having faith. Having faith in Dr. Shepherd that he knows what the fuck he's doing.
That he's just gonna, like, cut open some dude's spine and...
She has faith in God.
Yeah.
She has faith. And then Alex says something about how his mom used to pray to St. Jude for him.
Oh, yeah!
And Esther giggles about that. That St. Jude is patron saint of lost causes.
Yeah, which is a little sad. I remember finding that out and being like, that's a bummer that that's the children's hospital.
Ugh.
Is St. Jude's.
Like, yeah.
But I think...
Oh, that is sad.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, the point is that you... I don't know. I'm
like,
not
if they are
Catholic,
beyond the medical help, like...
Right. Is that you pray to, like, there's, like, saints of lost items. Not because...
Oh, sure.
Because you pray to them and then they help you find the lost item. It's like you would pray for this lost cause and then hopefully St. Jude would, like, help you out. As far as I understand it, I'm not Catholic, but...
Right. So if they're beyond sort of the medical help, then God will step in.
Right.
Sort of is the hope.
Yeah.
Or belief. The faith.
That's the faith. That's right. So Izzy's coming to find Bailey. She says she did an angiogram. I don't know what that is. I think it's an x-ray of blood. I can't.
Isn't it a heart thing?
Yes. I don't know.
Heart, blood, stiff.
Something. And then...
She is really trying to get the psychic guy out. Like, she wants to sort of expedite everything. Izzy is very...
Wants to get it going, yeah.
Yeah.
She sees what she calls a ditzel, D-I-T-Z-E-L, which I couldn't really find out what it meant. It's like maybe a Yiddish word.
Ditzel.
Means, like, tiny, dirt, or rubbish, insignificant. There's not, like, an exact definition.
Sure.
But she's thinking that was maybe on the scan was, like, a ditzel.
A little thing.
Just a something. And what about an AVM? And arteriovenous malformation, which is a tangle of blood vessels. She's like, kind of, what about this? What about that? Maybe it's this. And Bailey tells her to pump the brakes. She's like, you get involved. Yeah, you make it too
personal. She can see that Izzy's kind of unraveling here. Like, yeah. She's trying to force this.
Right. And Izzy's like, no, I'm not. Even though she totally is.
Why you gotta make everything so personal?
Yeah. Which, I mean, not like it's that hard to see through, but Miranda is very intuitive about that.
Yeah. Yeah. She knows. She knows people.
So Derek and Meredith are in surgery with Mr. Walker. Mm-hmm. Meredith is still really doubtful.
I wrote down spinal hemophoma. Is that what Derek calls it?
Hematoma.
Hematoma. Oh, yeah. I just misread my handwriting.
No, you got it. Yeah, it's a
messy handwriting.
A bruise is that's a bleed. Is a hematoma.
Sure.
So yeah.
So that's what Derek thinks is there somewhere.
Yeah.
He believes that it is there, and Meredith wants to be practical. Yep. She wants to be like, oh, this is exposing his spinal cord for this long is not safe. Like,
it's not a thing. Yeah.
This isn't a practical way to address this situation.
But he believes.
I want to know what your grandparents' names are. Your mother's maiden name. That's practical.
That's the real trivia. So Bailey and Christina come to Mrs. Glass. Seems like they're going to evacuate the fetus.
Yeah.
That seems like the choice.
Yeah, they've made the choice, the two parents. I'm sure her partner is very much like, oh, I want to save your life. You know.
Right.
And she is upset about that, but she's, like, aggressively brushing her hair.
Yeah, she seems sort of really dejected, but, like...
Yeah, trying to disassociate herself from the situation. Like, yeah, we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
That's what we've decided. She's just checking out emotionally.
And then when they leave the room, Bailey asks Christina if she's ever done a D&C, mm-hmm. which is dilation and curettage. How do you say it? Curettage?
I am not sure. I have not had one.
Okay.
Luckily, I didn't get that far with my miscarriage. But that is something, that is sort of the surgical, they like vacuum. That's like the vacuuming of stuff out of you.
Yeah, to like make sure that you're not going to get like an infection from any tissue that's left.
Yep.
I'm going to have my thing say.
Yeah, that's usually... From what I understand, that's not, like, the first thing that they jump to. Like, they'll use the medicinal route to try to...
Sure.
Induce contractions and stuff. But maybe with this far along of a situation, they'd want to clear it out with the least amount of...
Yeah. Like, less drugs and just more of a physical...
Intervention
or something?
Yeah.
Let's listen to Emma saying.
Curettage.
Okay.
Curettage.
Dilation and curettage.
Sure.
Bailey's going to have an OB resident supervise Christina.
Yep. And Christina's kind of excited about being able to do the D&C because she's never done that before. And she looks really confused because Bailey is still... She's upset about this whole situation. Like, she's...
Yeah.
She feels for the patient.
Because Bailey doesn't have kids right now, right?
No. Not yet.
Yeah.
But she still has... Empathy.
Right, basic human empathy, totally.
She can tell that Mrs. Glass is not making this decision out of a clear, logical, practical standpoint that Christina is expecting everyone to come from.
Christina runs it, yeah.
Yeah.
So then Alex is on the computer, George is bugging him. George wants to know how Alex gets women when he's a jerk.
Yeah, and Alex is like, little blue love pills.
Which, I mean...
Probably not.
unless you have some sort of other issue, I feel like that's not usually a necessity when you're that young.
No. No, he's just joking.
Yeah. And then he doesn't really want to tell him, but eventually Alex is like, you think too much. Yeah. You just got to go
for it. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
He's such a shit.
And then he finds what he's looking for on the computer and it yells out this loud, like, giggle. It's like a silly, ridiculous, over the top thing.
Yeah.
Then he tells George to dance and jab, like another
like a boxing reference. Yeah.
Because we know that Alex is a wrestler, which is a different thing.
It is a different thing, yeah. But I think he wants him to have some game. He wants him to have some, like, natural flow.
Right. It's intuitive for Alex to be a ladies' man. It is not intuitive for George.
No, George. Yeah, Alex finds a bovine xenograft, which is a cow valve. So
yes. So, of course, immediately he goes to Devo and her parents to let them know this.
Jesus. Yeah, so Esther is praying in Hebrew while her parents are watching, and Alex interrupts.
Yes, she's davening. Yes. Is what she says. She's sort of bowing towards the wall.
And praying. She has, like, her Torah in her hand.
Yeah.
Her sacred text. I don't know if you hold the Torah like that or not. You know, like, how the Quran is... The Quran is supposed to be only in, like, its original language.
Sure.
And so it's like, if you have a copy of it... Yeah, then it's not really, like, the real thing.
Oh.
So I just wondered if it was...
Sure.
Maybe... But I feel like I've seen...
I don't know. The Torah is just like... What... Isn't it like the first 5 books or 4 books of the Bible or something? Like of our...
I think so.
Vague evangelical version of the Bible.
Boy, oh boy. Oh, guys, we're getting ourselves into a world of trouble right now.
Tell us all the things we're wrong about.
No, don't. Unless you're Orthodox Jewish, then you can.
Yes, please. Yeah, yeah. Only speak to it if you actually know.
Because we shouldn't have said anything. So Alex interrupts while Esther is praying and is like super excited about this bovine xenograft. And
yeah,
Bert comes in while Alex is spouting off and tries to call him out of the room.
Don't promise anything.
Jeez. And the parents, you know, Esther's parents are like, oh my God, like, why didn't you tell us that was an option? Like,
yeah. And Burke is pissed because it's new and it's complicated. And I've never done this before.
It's so he pulls Alex out of the room and he says, what incredibly small portion of your brain were you using?
Yes.
Which is such a good insult. Yeah. I love that.
And then he kicks Kareb off the case.
Yeah. Yeah, because he fucked up.
No, you're off of it.
He presented an alternative treatment option without consulting his attending. And so Alex is thinking he's this superhero of research.
Yeah.
He's very surprised that it goes down like that because he thought he was, like, winning.
Yeah.
And then Burke is like, fuck you. Like, I don't know how to do that.
No, if he would have brought this to Burke ahead of time, maybe he would have been winning. But then again, maybe Burke wouldn't have done it. Maybe he would have shut him down immediately.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then we'd be saying goodbye to Devo.
It's possible. Really. Or maybe she would have done more Orthodox research and figured out that it was...
And realized, oh, they are actually okay with me choosing my life ahead of...
Right. And there's future patients that their religious beliefs, like, interfere with their what the doctors see as their medical well-being and their best interest. I always think those cases are really interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah, anthropologically. Like,
the conviction of faith versus that, like, integral human...
Because this is something the doctors have to understand and deal with. And
yeah.
It's something they have to learn.
Yeah, I think it's cool. So Alex gets kicked off the case, like you said.
Yeah.
And,
Izzy's checking on psychic guy, Mr. Duff.
Yep. He's working on a star chart.
Yes. Yeah. He's, like, looking at his
astrology.
Astrology. Yeah. Like, he's looking at a newspaper.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Working on a horoscope.
Sitting really weirdly in his chair with his knees all up and just...
It's weird. She wants him to sign a consent form, but she's, like, kind of annoyed. She says, you know, you're a con man. You're milking your seizures.
Yeah.
And then...
He calls her sweetheart, which, again, is
gross.
Fuck you.
But then he calls her Cricket.
Yes.
And he's sort of at the end fucking smug about it.
Yeah, because she's kind of like, I know all your tricks.
Yep.
I know all these psychic tricks.
You can't fool me.
Yeah. And yeah, he calls her Cricket. Very pointedly.
She's really freaked out.
Oof. And we don't know why, because we don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It means something to
her. But it definitely means something to her. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Christina comes into Mrs. Glass's room to do a pelvic exam, and the Glasses have decided to keep the baby.
Yeah, they've changed their mind.
And Christina's like, you have cancer.
she does not get it. Yeah. It's incomprehensible to Christina.
Yeah. And Mrs. Glass criticizes her bedside manner.
You have quite the bedside manner. Has anyone told you that?
Yeah. Christina's like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mrs. Glass, her mother has died in her 40s.
Yep.
And she's like, I'm going to get fat and happy instead of skinny and bald. She's choosing to have faith that she will see further into her child's life. Or at least she's giving this child life, and she wants to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Rather than resigning herself to what seems like a death sentence because her family has gone through this before. She's seen this at a young age.
Yeah.
In her own mother.
Yeah, she knows she's going to die anyway. Like, she wants to give this kid life if she can. Yeah. And Christina wants to call a psych consult.
Yeah, and Christina says something like, you want to live.
Like, if you want to live, and
Mrs. Glass says, honey, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I am living.
Yeah. Like,
this is living.
This is it for me. Yeah. This is how I see life. Like, this is how I, it's really, I like that line a lot. Honey, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
She's like, this is it. Yeah.
Because that's a point of view that Christina has not taken into account.
For sure. Yeah. So then Christina's kind of sitting on a bunk in an on-call room, and
She's reflecting. She seems very in her head.
Yeah.
In that moment.
And Burke comes in, and she instantly is like, you're not getting any.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I wasn't trying to.
Yeah. She's not in the mood. She looks very pretty in lavender. I think that's kind of her color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks nice.
She looks nice in that color.
And she asks him, like, what do you want? And he's like, nothing. I just haven't seen you all day.
Yeah. He wants to talk. He wants to talk things through. He doesn't really seem to have friends that he can talk to and talk things out when he is unsure about things. And this, she is that person for him.
Yeah. I said he looks so sad and alone. And
Yeah,
he comes looking for some comfort and support and assistance. And
He has a problem that he is not sure what to do about, which is the bovine
Xenocraft.
And she very bluntly says, this problem has a solution. Many problems do not.
Yeah, she's definitely bringing her own shit in. Yeah, she's basically like, go look it up. Like,
yeah,
she's super unavailable.
Like, you could have cancer and be pregnant, and that's what's the solution there. You can't choose to be healthy and have the baby. Like, that's that's not the choice. Like, there's not a solution to that problem.
Sometimes I think it's nice to have a reality check like that. Like, if you think life is super fucking hard, it could be nice to talk to somebody who has actual problems.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, I should shut up.
But,
again, her and Burke are in this relationship, and if she had the capacity, she could be like, that sounds really difficult. Like, can I help you?
She could, but her bluntness in this situation helped him.
It does work.
It kind of kicked him in the butt and was like, no, you have the solution.
Go look it up.
Just
go do your research.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's, yeah, it's an interesting thing because I feel like with another character, they might have been all like, oh, I'm never going to ask her again. But Burke doesn't do that. So,
yeah.
We're back in surgery with Mr. Walker. The spinal patient guy. They've been
They're still working, it seems,
4 hours.
They've been there a long time with his spine sort of exposed. And
he's having some complications.
He's getting some damage to his nervous system. Meredith is freaking out a little bit. She thinks they're in trouble.
Yeah, she thinks that he's going to stroke out and
doesn't
believe in him. She doesn't believe in Derek's ability to, like, find this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we see Nurse Olivia, and she's pulling George into a room because a patient needs an intubation, and no one else is around. He's the only doctor.
Yeah. He's like, oh, is there someone else? She's like, well, I could call, but you're right here. Like,
yeah. Like, can't you do it? And this time he gets it because yes. He listened, even though he was a little pissed at Burke. He kind of learned something.
Fucking from walks by while yeah. It's going on.
But George learned something from the other time.
He did, yeah.
Maybe he learns from being humiliated. He's able to learn from that.
And it's really cheesy. She's yeah, like, he gets smooth it moves, in. Doctor. Like,
yeah. He's like, kicked ass. She's impressed, and she's so cute with her little cute God. Smile looking at him.
It's like, yeah, he tries to play it all cool, but then I wrote,
they're just two little pumpkins.
Yeah, they're cute. And like, weirdly, Burke is like, okay, medical success gets women, so I'm going to impress Christina like George impressed Miss Olivia. Like,
or he's like, oh, someone else, like I showed him how to do this and now he was able to do it. Maybe I can use that same sort of idea and figure out the solution to my problem.
The way I saw it was he took a page out of George's book.
Get him, press the lady.
With medical prowess. So
we're
then
the stairs.
We're at the stairwell.
But there was no kissing in this stairwell.
No, not this
time. It's Burke and Alex.
And Alex is too macho. Even though he claims yeah. He's down with the rainbow. So
yeah,
Burke wants him to get a bovine valve.
Yeah, so he did kick Alex off the case and now he's bringing him back on. He's yeah. Like, yeah, you brought this idea to me, we're gonna do it.
Yep, he says you're gonna be scrubbing in, but it doesn't earn 60 many
minutes.
Points. Yeah, and then he's like, "Oh yeah, Diva wants a rabbi," and Alice goes, "Seriously?
Like you got to get the rabbi to bless the valve?"
Which to me is like a perfectly normal thing. Like,
sure,
we know this patient is religious. Why wouldn't she want like someone of her faith to like
right
interact?
Yeah.
I think it's funny that he goes, seriously?
Yeah.
Because, like, I'd be surprised if she didn't want somebody to bless it, right? Like,
but, you know, it's Alex. He hasn't thought that far ahead.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand that.
And I just love seriously.
Seriously? Seriously.
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 Meredith and Derek are just, like, low-key digging around in a spine.
Yep. Well, Derek is low-key. Meredith is high-key. She's anxious.
She's, like, freaking out.
And then he finds it. He's like, hey, take a look at this.
Bokey's there,
yes.
Yeah. It just, I kind of hate that he was right, because it's like he was right about keeping his whole life a secret. I just don't like it. I'm glad that, like, the yeah. patient's okay, but like,
he does kind of give her more information at the end. So he, I know. I think he figures out, like, okay, I should
yeah.
do this.
But I, as somebody who gets nervous a lot, like, worried yeah. about stuff, like, oh my God, please be careful, like, yeah. that kind of worried.
Yeah.
When the person that's being really dangerous is like, see, it all worked out, you big dummy. I'm like, listen. Like,
see, I look at this where on many Myers-Briggs lists,
yes.
where you see what their MBTI is, Derek is often listed as an INFJ, which mm-hmm. is what I am.
Okay.
Which is not someone who, like, flies by the seat of their pants whatsoever. They always have a plan. But it's very internal.
Mm.
Like, it is something that I... Okay. Like, if I know something, like, intuitively, I will know things, but I cannot explain that verbally to someone.
Yeah.
Because my brain works more in, like, pictures or... Yeah. vague ideas or like sort of a broad thing, like a big picture thing.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I'm remembering how I was like, no, I swear to God, it's pink on the Princess Diaries subject. You're like, bitch, it's not. It's Crystal Harris.
It's like, no, I know these things, but also I can't be like, no, I know this for sure. It's like, no, I know it, but I can't necessarily explain it.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
And it's 99.999% accurate,
yeah.
but I can't be like, no, this is right, because it's a sort of jumble, vague thing.
Visceral kind of a... Well, and yeah. you're a nice person. Like, I feel like other people would be like, no, fuck you, I'm right. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, and I don't think INFJs can really be that way.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Because we're kind of inside. It's very internalized.
Gotcha.
Which I think is what the Derek situation is, if we're approaching it as he is an INFJ.
Yeah.
Which sometimes he seems more extroverted.
Yeah.
Than that. But he does kind of live alone, and he doesn't tell people much, and he doesn't have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So from that point of view,
my MBTI is always April, who is not on the show yet, so.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Or is it Lexi? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Well, neither of them are on the show anyway.
I feel like maybe it was either of those or something. Or
maybe they're two different. Listed as that.
Yeah. I am, it's almost always Derek for INFJ when I look at it.
Mm.
Even though I feel like usually I feel more Meredith-y.
Yeah.
But that might be because I also have anxiety.
Fair. It's legit. Yeah.
And those things change things.
Yes, they do.
You know?
Yes, they do. So then...
But he found it.
He found it.
Of course he did.
He found it.
He had faith. He knew that it was there.
Yep. And Meredith kind of concedes, okay, you were right, but...
Yeah, they stopped the paralysis. Derek doesn't know if it'll reverse, but he knows that they stopped it.
Right. It's not going to keep creeping up. And
they won't know until he wakes up. Mr. Walker wakes up to see if he can walk again.
And there's just a weird, like, Derek takes this opportunity to say, some people would call this a relationship. I just think it's such a weird time to do that because, like, she's not getting anything she wants. You know, show me something, like, give me a reason to believe.
Yeah.
And he leaves again.
Yeah.
And, like, it's supposed to be cute, I think, but I don't like it. Like, no. He just keeps, like, walking away from her. It's just not, that's not cute to me. I don't like that.
It's not cute. No, she needs a reason.
Like, yeah.
That's, she needs that.
Yeah.
Which I think he kind of gets by the end.
He does.
Of this episode, he's like, okay. There's a little give and take that is needed.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, because he's asking her to give her faith in him,
right,
but not giving her anything. Like,
but she is someone who needs something because she has had a lot of issues in her life. She has had a lot of people
like fucking abandoned.
Yeah, so many times she needs that cornerstone to lean on,
for sure.
So then we're with Mrs. Glass or Miss Glass.
Yep. Christina tries to drop off the papers and bolt, but...
Yeah, she's kind of getting ready to leave, packing up. She's got a very boho style. She's got a giant orange pendant that she's wearing and batik print dress.
And
bracelets and this green crochet shawl thing.
Yeah.
That later when they show her, she's wearing it as like a scarf, but right now she's wearing it as a shawl. Like
around her shoulders,
Very boho.
Super. Yeah. She looks like art teacher.
Cool art teacher.
Yeah.
Which is like my ideal style. Like, I want that so bad.
Yeah, for sure.
I want the layers and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, the flow.
It's, she does. She looks very boho.
Love it.
And,
Christina doesn't understand.
Nope. She says, I'm your doctor. It's not my place to be happy. Because Mrs. Glass is like, oh, you're not happy with me, are you?
Or, yeah. She's trying to explain
for
it.
Me,
yeah.
Or, yeah.
But sometimes you're not going to get that understanding from the other person.
Yep.
In a acknowledged way.
Yeah. Mrs. Glass really wants her to understand. And she's like, I do not.
No,
I do not understand.
I don't understand.
Yeah. Which is fine, I think, to put that out there when you're asked so pointedly. Like, don't lie.
No.
So,
Christina is an honest person, if anything.
God, I love her. You just need to get laid. She's like, you just need...
She's got red hair.
Yeah.
Just go do it.
People who work in geriatrics live with their mom. Get their hair cut at home. She's
No, the haircut thing was our thing that we put
on.
That was what I put on to George.
Got
Christina. But he does live at home with his mom.
He does, yeah. Until now. Now he lives with Mayor. But
yeah.
So Mr. Duffy, our psychic, Izzy comes in, really wants him to sign the forms.
Yeah, he really needs surgery. And she's trying. She's more understanding now. She's like, no, you need this. You need to have the surgery. And he's kind of understand, like, he feels that his powers are about to be gone. He's like, no. And she thinks he's talking about his life.
Right, like, he's like, I think it's going to be over. She's like, you'll be fine,
But he means his psychic abilities. He thinks that's what he's going to lose if he does sign on to this.
Yeah. But he does. He signs the forms.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Izzy reassures him because she says, if they are real, then you've got to believe that you'll still have them after.
Yeah. Which is an interesting thing. Like, who's to say that just because they have a physical root doesn't mean they're not real?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it has to be one or the other. Like,
no. This episode is all about having the faith.
Yeah, for sure.
You gotta have faith.
So Esther is in surgery. There's a rabbi there, all in scrubs, and
here's the point where I saw the other thing that kind of points that maybe the writers didn't really know
about Orthodox
Judaism, because it is a female rabbi.
I also noticed that.
In Orthodoxy, they're not usually recognized. Female rabbis are not usually recognized by Orthodox Judaism, from what I read.
Yeah.
Maybe it's different. I don't know.
Or maybe there's like a really, I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but like a progressive Orthodox church temple.
But, I mean, if there was, then she would definitely be in attendance.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny, like, not funny, haha, but this rabbi is all in scrubs and a surgical gown, but then also has her prayer shawl, like, over it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's, like, part of it. I just was surprised that that was allowed in the surgical suite. Like,
yeah. But like outside of the
It's scrubs. Outside of her gown, yeah.
Interesting.
And Burke nods, and
And then she leaves, and they wheel in the TV.
Yeah, Burke calls it an expert via satellite.
Dr. Kenny Chesney. Just kidding. It's Dr. Chesney. it's not Kenny, is what I wrote.
Oh, man, what if
He's
it was?
He's an expert on bovine valve situations.
And
he's there to talk him through it.
It's so great. Burke is doing what scares him. He's asking for help.
Yeah, he's not a person who likes to take things on faith.
Nope.
He wants to be the expert.
Yeah.
But he is...
He's doing it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for you, Burke.
So there's a hallway hang.
Hallway hang.
In the rainy dark, and everybody's kind of studying or whatever. George isn't there, though.
Yeah, Meredith, Alex, and Izzy are just kind of chilling, and then George walks in.
Yeah, Meredith is kind of feeling guilty. She tried to talk Derek out of the surgery for Mr. Walker.
Yeah.
And there's like a totally sexless back and forth between Alex and Christina, just like a really natural fighting kind of a thing. And George comes down and announces that he has a date.
It's a hot date.
And Meredith is so excited. She's like, that's great.
For you, George.
George is really
bummed. She's genuinely excited for him. He's a little thrown off by that because he's like, I want you to like me.
Yeah. And Alex says something like, no glove, no love. And
yeah, he's like my left coat pocket or whatever.
Yeah.
Something.
And he's letting Alex walk by him, and then he grabs him and grabs a condom out of his
pocket. Yeah, Alex just has condoms in his coat pocket.
Unless you are on a rotation that requires that.
Well, I mean, he must just be visiting the on-call room at any given time,
boy.
We find out a little bit later, he has been around
the block,
the nurse's station.
Yes.
in future episodes, we find out previously to the George having a hot date situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there. It's good stuff. But, hey, if you are regularly having sexual contact, please use protection.
No glove, no love.
Don't be a fool. Wrap your tool. All those silly things. A lot of places offer condoms for free.
Yeah.
Like health clinics and sometimes bars have them for free. So.
But also they're not super expensive either.
And you know what? They're cheaper than a kid.
Right. They definitely are. Here's the thing, folks. This week, I have two children. This particular week, we started off with one having a stomach bug that was affecting both ends.
Oh, no!
So to speak, my entire house smelled of vomit and diarrhea.
Oh.
And then later on in the week, the second child caught the situation.
God.
So, yes.
Please use condoms.
If you don't want to deal with that, if you don't think you're prepared to deal with that.
Yeah, which is totally fine. You don't have to deal with that.
No.
It's
easy. It's simple. If a guy's like, oh, I don't like it.
Well,
then fuck him. But don't fuck him. Yeah.
That was mad. Also, not a bad idea to carry one in case somebody else doesn't have one.
Yeah.
I have definitely had a friend that asked about somebody else.
If it is a penis that you are encountering.
Well, yeah. Assuming someone in your circle has a penis.
Yeah, you don't need one if that's not part of the equation.
There are other things that work if there's not a penis in the equation to help be a physical barrier for STDs and STIs. Sure. But a friend of mine was in town and he asked about a coworker of mine and I pulled it out and handed it to him and I said, here you go. He's like, oh, I don't need that. And I was like, just in case.
Maybe you'll need it another time down the line.
I was in a bar and grabbed one for this very moment. So here you go.
I had it and it was for you.
And also,
it was meant to be.
Don't keep them in your wallet because they rub and the heat breaks them down.
Oh, sure. Like if you have the wallet in your pocket.
Yeah.
As many
men
do.
Just be safe.
Be safe from your moms here.
Sorry, we're your moms. Please don't puke on us. He takes the condom from Alex. Alex is wondering about Mr. Duff's surgery. Izzy is wondering about Mr. Duff's surgery.
Yeah, she's worried. And she seems less... what's the word I'm looking for?
She's not so, angry or worked up about it. She seems, genuinely concerned now.
Yeah.
And
she actually has a connection with him now.
She reveals that her mom was really into psychics.
Her mom would spend all her money on psychics. They lived in a trailer park.
Yeah.
They weren't wealthy. Izzy grew up waiting tables and was trying to save money for college, but her mom had spent so much on psychics that she ended up having to pay a lot of the bills out of her own
fucking
money
sucks.
That she had.
When grown-ups are the grown-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she still doesn't really know how Mr. Duff knew about cricket.
Right.
She can't explain that one, so... then we're with Mr. Walker. Meredith is checking his legs.
His kids are there now.
Yeah. And there's this big emotional music and he's like, thanks for believing I wasn't making it up.
Yeah.
And,
she's kind of like, oh, well,
I started thought you were. But he can lift his finger and, Meredith acknowledges it.
He's having some feeling up by his stomach too.
Which is great.
Yeah.
It's
He can kind of wiggle his finger a little bit. And she's like, no, that's a big thing.
That's big. Yeah.
That's big.
And then I just have a note that says, faith is a funny thing.
It is a funny
thing. Was that maybe in the voiceover?
I think she said that in the voiceover.
Okay. Yeah. So Mr. Duff is out of surgery.
They're in an elevator and Izzy goes in and he's kind of waking up. And she's like, oh, you're still with us?
Yeah.
And he says 1 tablespoon of coconut extract. So he still has his powers.
Yeah.
That's what we're learning from that. Like, he still has them.
Yeah, he says some, about her cupcake recipe.
She just needed 1 tablespoon, which seems like
That's a lot. Fucking
lot. That's a lot.
You would fucking know if there was coconut in there if you used a tablespoon of extract.
That's a very coconutty cupcake.
You would know.
But apparently that's what was missing.
Well, and I wonder if he meant, coconut oil, because that isn't as coconutty.
Or
he
teaspoon.
Or teaspoon. I definitely said a tablespoon of extract, yeah.
Like a teaspoon, I get that.
Yeah, because that you can easily miss.
Right.
Just
kind of adds a little sweetness, a little different.
Nuttiness.
Texture, yeah.
Yeah, but she seems delighted. She really likes that.
Yeah, he still has his vision.
Yeah,
she's like, oh, duh.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
I knew that.
But duh. So then Meredith and Derek are kind of walking out together.
They're getting in a car.
He won't tell her where they're going.
Yeah.
So fucking annoying. I get it. You're aloof. Oh, I'm a mystery guy. Shut the fuck up. You have to share it with people.
#INFJ life. We're mysterious.
So George and Olivia are leaving together. Nurse Olivia.
Yeah, they're walking down the stairs. He's got his backpack.
Cute.
Little babies. They just seem so much younger.
They really do. Yeah, they seem like they're like 19.
Yeah.
And then Christina is watching the Glass family leave.
Well, she's kind of watching George and Olivia walk down at first, and then she turns, and then the Glass family is zooming by her on the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're leaving. They are...
The shawl is now a scarf.
Against medical recommendation or...
Yeah, kind
medical
of,
advice, kind of.
Kind of. Yeah. It was really her choice, though. It wasn't like you have to do this.
Yeah.
And then she was choosing not to. It was more like... Well, you know, you can live for a little while without intervention, or you could save your life farther down, you know.
Yeah. And then we see Alex. He's listening to Esther's chest. She's awake after surgery, and Burke is, like, really pleased.
And she's like, does it beat or moo?
She's just cute. She's cute.
So cute. I love her so much.
Yeah, we love her.
Come back.
So Izzy is back to baking, and she took Duff's advice.
Yes. She's wearing an off-the-shoulder, like, mauve pink sweater.
Yeah. Lots of off-the-shoulder pink.
She wears so much off-the-shoulder.
Yeah,
and
she
pink.
Does.
Like,
yeah.
That's kind of her thing. A lot of bra straps showing, too.
Yeah.
That's kind of the Izzy aesthetic.
Yeah, totally.
It's interesting. Yeah. And gold earrings.
Yeah.
And she is finishing the cupcakes, and they very pointedly show the bottle of coconut extract.
Yeah, they do. Well, those bottles are so little. Like, we use the mint extract at work sometimes, and, like, there is not very much in there. A tablespoon is a really good
portion
of it.
That's like the whole bottle!
Yeah, for real it is, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, oh, this is the right.
Yep.
The right mix.
It
and so
right.
She picks up the phone with the curly cord.
On the wall.
On the wall. And she calls her mom.
Yeah.
And she says, hi, mom, it's me, Cricket. Aww. So that we know that
was
Cricket
her
was her mom's
name.
Like pet name for her.
Super
she's Cricket.
Cute.
She is Cricket.
Even though her mom did shitty things, she still reaches out.
Yeah.
Which is not a requirement if you have a shitty mom. But
no,
it's
no.
just a nice moment for her.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was something that she needed as a person.
Yes.
Like, she kind of needed that fulfillment.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
She needed that point of connection.
She was not handling the being away from her mother very well.
No. So then we're with Meredith and Derek, and she says...
They're kind of in the middle of nowhere. They're
like,
walking in the woods.
Where are we? And he fucking shushes her. Don't shush people. I don't
so
like
rude.
It. God, it's so rude.
Yeah. She's wearing a long white jacket that has, like, toggles.
Yeah. It's kind of a peacoat.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So, and then he starts telling her stuff. So these are the things that we learn about Derek in this moment. His mom's maiden name is Maloney. So presumably maybe he's, like, Irish or part Irish.
Yeah. That sounds Irish.
He has 4 sisters. He has 9 nieces. 5 nephews. He likes coffee ice cream.
I like coffee ice cream too.
And a single malt scotch. Occasional good cigar. He likes to fly fish. He cheats at the Sunday crossword.
How do you do that? You look it up?
Look at the back? I don't know.
They don't publish it till the next day.
Maybe. Maybe he just waits.
I don't know. Maybe he waits. Okay. He
I don't
cheats.
Know. He never dances in public.
That's a dumb rule.
His favorite book is The Sun Also Rises. A lot of this feels very, like, cliche male
it totally
lead
is.
Character.
It
thing.
Absolutely
yeah.
is.
His favorite band is The Clash. His favorite color is blue. Not light blue. Indigo. Which
indigo.
Is more like a purple. Like, in my
it's
mind,
purpley.
It's like purpley blue.
Yeah.
But anyway... and this scar on his forehead is why he doesn't ride motorcycles anymore.
Oh, he has a past.
He has a mysterious past.
Yeah, so he answers kind of all the questions she's asked throughout the day.
Yes.
And some more that we and assume she asked also.
He gestures to a trailer, like a fancy streamline sort of...
Yeah.
Silver.
Airstream.
Trailer.
Yeah.
That has, like, the built... out deck.
Yeah.
So it's not just there. You know, like, it's been there for a while.
Yeah.
He's like, I live in that trailer. That's my house.
Yep.
And all this land is mine. As far as the eye can see, there is your Mufasa. Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, that's it. That's all you've earned for now.
Fuck you, dude.
She's been sleeping with you for so long. I really didn't like
that. He's been living at her house basically for a week.
For free. That's all you've earned.
Thank you. Although,
I'm rolling my eyes in case
he doesn't. He doesn't know about, like, her mom yet, though. So he doesn't know that much about her either.
But he doesn't need to know. She needs to know.
True. Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't feel the need. She does.
Yeah. So she kind of goes up towards the trailer and turns around and extends her hand towards him.
Yeah. And let's go fucking the trailer.
Let's go fucking the
let's
trailer.
Let's rock the trailer. Yeah.
So I think that's it for this week, huh?
Yeah.
You got any other notes?
I don't. No.
I don't either.
Yeah. I liked it. I liked this one because Millie was in there.
Yeah, I
not
really
Millie. Like
her.
Sarah Hagen.
Sarah Hagen.
You'll always be Millie in my heart.
I think she probably gets that a lot, if I had to guess.
Oh, sure. Probably more than any other role.
Yeah.
Like, going into the party and playing the piano.
Yeah.
Jesus is just all right with me. And everybody around there is acting drunk because they think they're drunk, but really the younger boys had switched the non-alcoholic keg for the alcoholic keg.
It's so good.
It's such a good show.
Cool. If you are Orthodox Jewish, or
let us know all the stuff we messed up on.
Please be nice. We really try.
Everything, yeah.
We're not ever trying to be problematic, I guarantee. You can email us at shadesofgrayspod@gmail.com.
Yes, or connect with us on Instagram at shadesofgrayspod.
And Jada's snoring, which means it's time to go. She just
snored.
She totally did. She's like all sprawled out on our fresh laundry.
Our podcaster is so tired.
She's like, guys, get back to me. Okay, well, love you, and we will be talking to you next week.
Yeah.
Episode 9.
Yeah, bye, interns. We love you.
Bye, be careful, have faith.
Yeah. No glove, no love.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.